The General Motors Hour. General Motors Holdens, through the Macquarie Network and cooperating stations in all states, present Cockleshell Heroes, starring Harp McGuire and Douglas Kelly. And here to introduce our play is John Deese.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. One of the most exciting and suspenseful films Columbia have made recently is Cockleshell Heroes, from which our play tonight is taken. It is a taut war drama of humor, courage, and tragedy. This also is a story of conflict between two men of widely different background and outlook, a conflict which resolves itself in the tenseness of an heroic exploit. As these two men, Captain Thompson and Major Stringer, we star Douglas Kelly and Harp McGuire, with Max Osbaston in the featured role of Private Clark. The play will be produced by E. Mason Wood. Ladies and gentlemen, Act One of the General Motors Hour production, Cockleshell Heroes.
I think we're safe enough here, Clark.
Yes, sir.
Let's watch the end of it. Well, that's the finish of it, huh, Clark?
Yes, sir. That's the finish of it. The finish of it. Death, destruction. And only two of us there to see the finish of it. It didn't seem long since it all started. Portsmouth, 1942. That's where it began, at the Royal Marine Barracks.
Move there, move! At the double! All in! Party! Shunt! On the command, move smartly, no slop. Clark?
Present, Sergeant.
Stevens?
Yes, Sergeant.
Bradley?
Present, Sergeant.
Roddick?
Present, Sergeant.
Cooley?
Present,
Sergeant.
Those men were training for an operation miles away across the channel. An operation we all thought impossible at the time. Four of us from that tough bunch went along. Me, Sergeant Craig, Stevens, Bradley. And two more. One of them quite the rugged individualist.
Sergeant, what's the trouble here?
This officer claims he's a major of Marines.
In that clobber?
He was arrested by the patrol boat for canoeing in a restricted area.
Good evening, Sergeant. I'm Major Stringer under orders to report here for duty. I believe a Captain Thompson has been appointed as my administrative officer. No doubt he could set your mind at rest about me.
Yes, sir. I'll see. This way, sir.
Will I wait?
Suit yourself. Sir?
Yes, Sergeant Craig.
Fact is, sir,
I'm Stringer.
Oh. Yes, I suppose you are. You couldn't be anyone else. You can go, Sergeant.
Yes, sir. Sorry, sir.
That's okay. You must be Thompson.
How do you do, sir?
I'm afraid my arrival was rather informal. I was stopped by a patrol boat, as a matter of fact.
I'll get an orderly to take your kit to your quarters. I suppose you have a uniform in there.
Oh, no. This is the stuff I want here.
I see.
Which is my desk?
That one, sir.
I suppose I shouldn't have come by kayak, and in these clothes, I guess I look like a tramp, but... Well, there I was, just up the river, and what with the flood tide setting up and the wind just a little bit south of west, it seemed the obvious thing to do.
I see.
How long have you been in the service?
I joined in February 1918.
1918? It's 1942. Well, I mean to say, all that time and you've only got the rank...
I've been a captain for 11 years.
Well, I hope it isn't going to be too embarrassing for both of us. You see, I'm only playing at being a Marine. I came over from Canada when it started and joined up in a fit of boyish enthusiasm. Now, they've been rash enough to make me an acting major and put me in charge of this unit.
Jolly good.
What I'm trying to say is... Isn't it going to be a bit difficult for you to get used to taking orders from me?
No, I'm quite used to the normal service chain of command.
Good. Now, how much do you know about all this?
I don't know anything, sir.
Well, in that case, this is all very secret, of course. But it seems German ships are running in and out of Bordeaux, getting past our blockade and bringing in vital raw materials for the German war machine. No one else seems to be able to do anything about it. Air Force can't bomb for political reasons, so we rate the job. And that job is to get all the way up there and blow up the ships in the docks.
How do you propose to get there?
By canoes.
What canoe?
We'll be traveling at night and hiding during the day. We'll be dropping about 70 miles from the target. Should be able to make it in 3 or 4 nights of traveling.
Interesting.
Matter of fact, I sent in this plan some time ago and it was thrown out. Now it's all boiled up again, so here we are.
It's rather a long way to paddle, isn't it?
Yes.
It's funny, but I've never thought of a canoe as being particularly invisible.
Neither have I. I'm only hoping the Germans won't notice us.
On a theory that the only time a German looks down is to see if his boots are properly polished.
You're not exactly bubbling over with enthusiasm for this party, are you?
I'm afraid I'm not qualified to comment on the technical possibilities of your plan.
Well, what's the next step?
The rest of the men are due in for training in the morning. With those, we have 43 in all.
What sort of men are they?
Volunteers for hazardous service.
They ought to be good types.
Probably deadbeats. Good men are never encouraged to volunteer.
Well, I volunteered from Canada. I want to interview all those men tomorrow. One at a time.
Quiet. No talking in the ranks. Private Lomas.
Here, Sergeant.
You're the last he wants to see. Left. Turn. Quick. March. Left. Right. Left. Right. Left. Right. Left.
Yeah. Say, what's Major Stringer's idea, interviewing us like this?
What did he ask you, Roddick?
Why did you volunteer for hazardous service?
Well, he asked me that, too. And I says, well, sir, what with me coming from a long line of natural-born fighting men, I said to myself, Cooney, me fella.
It's time you were dead.
Oh.
I said to him, I need the extra money. Kids, you know.
Kids? I told him it was because my mother got killed in an air raid.
I say, you know what he said to me, chaps?
What, old chap?
He said, I'm curious to know why you volunteered. He's curious. I'm curious. Well, why did I volunteer?
Just your love of adventure, Bradley.
Possibly, Clark, possibly. I know it was at first. A law office can be frightfully dull.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, anything to do with the law can be frightfully terrifying.
Howdy, jump! Major Singer requires the following to parade in the lecture hall. Lomas, Clark, Stevens, Bradley, Cooney, Ruddock, Bellamy, Raglan, O'Brien.
All finished, sir?
Yes, quite an assortment. One, Private Reich, when asked why he volunteered, said, I believe the good die young, sir, and I don't want to disappoint anybody. I thought it was amusing.
If you'll just tell me which men you've selected, I'll start getting them licked into some sort of shape for you.
Well, I'm afraid that apart from the obvious rejects, I haven't quite made up my mind. I picked out 20 men. I'll make a final selection from those. You see, I'm looking for a special sort of man. An individualist. One who can think for himself. The sort of a man who'll do the job for its own sake and not because some sergeant is shouting. Oh, and while we're on the subject, I'm not sure I want you licking them into shape, as you put it.
Training is the thing, sir. It has been for centuries.
Try to force them into a mold and you destroy the very qualities I'm looking for.
Do you know what you're looking for?
Well, I've dreamed up a little test for the men to see what sort of stuff they're made of. You care to come with me to the lecture hall?
Not unless it's an order, sir.
It's an order, then, Captain Thompson. Well, gentlemen, as you can see, there are now 20 of you left from a party of 43 volunteers. Before I make my final selection, I want to put you all to a practical test, an operational exercise, and it's going to be a difficult one, too. Unroll the map, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
This point on the map is 350 miles away from here in Portsmouth. Tonight we'll be dropped there by parachute, and our task will be to get back to these barracks within 48 hours. We'll be dressed as German soldiers. We'll carry no money, no identification. The Home Guard haven't been informed, so watch out for yourselves. Don't break the law unless you have to, and if you have to, don't get caught. Any questions?
Oh, blimey.
Just as bloody now as it can be done.
Right. See you in the aircraft tonight.
Party! Gun! Right. Fall in airtight.
Well, I think we've got a good lot of boys there.
Some of them may be good material. Even so, it's not customary to call them gentlemen.
You mean to imply that only an officer can be a gentleman?
I mean to imply that in the service, one does not address the rank and file as gentlemen, even if they are gentlemen.
I stand corrected.
Oh, one more thing.
Yes?
This parachute jumped tonight in German uniforms. It could cause a lot of trouble to civilians, not to mention the Home Guard. One of our men might get hurt, even shot.
Yes. Might even be me.
Well, there they were, coming out in the open. Major Stringer had thrown away the Book of Regulations, and Captain Thompson, who lived by it. One the volunteer and individualist, the other the professional soldier and traditionalist. Any wonder there was bad blood between them already. The 20 men who got aboard the aircraft that night were a tough-looking lot. They played cards, talked, grumbled.
What does that Stringer think we are, an aerial circus?
Look at Cooney. Doesn't he belong in a circus?
Where's the hostess, Sergeant Dare?
What's it?
How long now till we jump?
Not long. Make the most of it, Cooney. The closest to heaven you'll ever get. Right now, on your feet. On your feet, get ready for action. Hook up, on your feet, hook up.
All right, ma'am.
9 okay.
8 okay.
7 okay.
6 okay, I hope.
5 okay.
4 okay.
3 okay.
2 okay.
1 okay, stick okay.
Action stations. Red light on. Stand by the door.
Lomas, 2 days' pay, I'll meet you back to barracks.
Oh, I'm not a betting man.
Green light on. Hand on the door. Go.
I'll take you one, Clark.
Bless you, Petty Sergeant. Go.
Bye-bye, Sergeant.
Go.
I'm going.
Go.
Pull me.
Yes, Tony, go.
What's German from your parachute didn't open, Sergeant, darling?
Go. 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 Go.
Well, down we went. 350 miles away from barracks and 48 hours to get back. Wearing German uniforms all the way. And no money to even buy a pint, if we had the nerve to hop into a public house for one. Well, while we were gone, Captain Thompson hung around the barracks, chewed on the end of his pipe, and I think hoped we'd all make a mess of it. Some did, and some didn't. We came back by degrees, one might say. Some full of beans, some full of bruises, and one full of grog. Our ever-loving sergeant was there to meet us at home sweet home.
Hello? Yes, this is Thompson. Oh, yes, sir. Very good, sir. Sergeant Craig.
Yes, sir?
Major Springer is back.
Oh, that makes 15 of them, sir.
Give me a full report. Names of the men, times of arrival. Parade in the lecture room at 1200 hours.
Yes, sir. Might say, sir, what's come back is a pretty sorry-looking lot of stormtroopers, sir. I hope Major Stringer's in better shape than most of them.
At ease, men. Well, we've got 15 of you back on time. Now let's hear from you. Starting at that end.
Private Bradley.
Yes, sir.
Well, just how did you get back, Private Bradley?
Well, sir, I had a nice trip down. On the parachute, I mean. I buried the thing in my coat with it. And then I rolled about a bit in the mud and got my trousers thoroughly dirty. I couldn't tell if they were grey or black. I got as far as a rather dark lane where a car was parked. I thought, well, I might be able to start the thing and get a few miles out of it. But when I opened the door, sir, a young lady screamed and a chappie said, can't you see what you're doing? And I said, I have no idea. And I was short of money. And for some extraordinary reason, he thrust a pound into my hand. Well, sir, I caught a train back.
Cooney!
Well, now, sir, I said to myself, Cooney, if you strip off this here German uniform, you'll take on your death of cold. And if you leave it on and march about bold as brass, with the accent you've got and all, now who's to think you're Hess or Himmler? So off I went, flogging it down the road. A truck driver was going on right through Liverpool, to about 10 miles from here. So I got me a ride. He says, what the so-and-so is that uniform you're wearing? And I says, it's a darling uniform. It's the Irish Salvation Army uniform. And he said, I might have so-and-so known it and all.
That'll do, Cooney. Private Stevens?
A ran back, sir.
You what?
A ran back. Most of the way, I stripped my shorts to my bare feet and singlet, and off I went, jogging down the road. I got lifts, I said I was training. Getting down weight to get fit and offer myself up to the army. Then I struck a very sympathetic old soul who talked diet to me for miles. But she drove me right to the gates.
Right. Private Clark, you're next.
Hopped a good train, sir. Ruddock came all the way with me.
Lovers? Well, I wore the uniform in the first town I struck. It was just 9, the shops were opening. In a second-hand store, a chap put out a dummy with a uniform on it. Can't say what it was, looked like Gilbert and Sullivan. So I changed into it and left my own uniform. An old gent who said he won the Boer War picked me up. He didn't seem to think there was anything wrong when I said I had to get here in a hurry. He arranged with a friend coming this way to bring me.
All right, man at ease. Well, gentlemen, thank you. I caught the first passenger train after stealing an oilskin and a cap from a farmhouse. I had to have a train ticket, so when a gentleman went to the end of the corridor and locked himself in, I knocked on the door, shouted, "Ticket, please," and took it from him under the door. Well, thank you, gentlemen. That's all for now.
Hurry! Shut! All in outside. Come on, smartly now, smartly.
Well, now, let's see what else we have here.
Sergeant Craig made out this report, sir.
Yeah. 2 captured by the Home Guard, 1 with serious gunshot wounds. Bad luck.
Yes, wasn't it?
1 placed under arrest by military police, 1 drunk in charge, 1 married.
I've received complaints from the police of 5 counties. A considerable quantity of equipment has been lost, and we shall almost certainly be faced with a court of inquiry.
Do I detect a faint note of disapproval?
It may interest you to know that this ridiculous exercise, which seems to have given you so much satisfaction, has caused me more trouble than 5 years of ordinary service.
All right, Tom, just clear the air a little. Ever since I met you, you've been giving me a hard time. What the hell is eating you?
I'm a professional Marine. I don't like temporary officers. I don't like volunteers for hazardous service. I don't like musical comedy operations designed to win the Victoria Cross. I suppose I just don't like heroes.
Anything else?
Yes. I'm not accustomed to being associated with this kind of mess. I want you to know that I'm thoroughly ashamed to be a member of your unit.
A week after that first operational exercise on 20 men, Major Stringer came up with a final decision. 5 of us were handpicked to paddle canoes to Bordeaux and thump a batch of limpet mines on the German ships docked there. Of course, it wasn't that easy. We had to make another test first.
Good. Stand easy. Now, some of you will be pleased with a bit of news I have, and some won't be. But of all you deadbeats, Major Stringer has come up with a final list of runners in the canoe stakes. 5 men, which included me.
Aren't they the lucky ones, to be sure, Sergeant, dear?
Those selected are as follows. Bradley.
Oh, good show.
Lomas. Clark.
Always wanted to go to Paris.
Stevens.
Do I have to paddle your canoe, Sergeant?
And Major Stringer will make up the 6th member of the party. Men whose names have been called will parade in the lecture hall in exactly 1 hour's time. The Major has another little test in mind for us. All right. Squad! Good! Dismissed!
Another test it is. And what's it to be this time?
Probably Jap uniforms and make us wait ashore in broad daylight.
Yeah, well, you'd look the part, Lomas.
Shut up.
Sergeant Craig!
Sir?
Do you usually let your men slouch about in this fashion?
No, sir. We just finished an exercise.
I'm not interested in what you finished. These men want smartening up. I'll get them into battle dress and give them an hour's close-order drill.
Yeah, very good, sir. All right, you men. Fall in at the double. At the double! All right. Captain Thompson's orders. You'll parade here in full battle dress in 5 minutes for 1 hour's drill. Squad! Left! Turn! Quick! March! Left, right, left, right, Left strike. Cooney, head up, swing the arms. Left strike.
Sergeant Frey.
Forward. Halt.
Sir?
Why are you giving the men close order drill?
Captain Thompson's orders, sir.
I see. Dismiss the men. Oh, there you are, Thompson.
Yes, sir. You wanted me to attend this lecture, didn't you?
It's an exercise. I understand you ordered Sergeant Cray to give the men close order drill.
Yes, sir, I did.
Why?
I ordered it because I think the men need it.
The ability to present arms and advance in column of threes isn't going to help those men when they try to creep into the docks at Bordeaux in canoes full of high explosives.
Your men give the impression of being an ill-disciplined rabble. They'll never get to Bordeaux that way.
Thompson, I'm training these men. I'm the one who's responsible for the success or failure of this project. So if you don't mind, we'll do it my way. It may not be the right way, or the marine way, or the professional way, but it is my way. Now understand this. In future, no disciplinary action is to be taken in this unit by anybody except me.
Attention!
At ease. Well, gentlemen, before we attempt Bordeaux, we must know what we're doing as a team. How to handle ourselves, our canoes. Please look at this map of the Thames. This narrow channel here. Tonight we'll take three canoes through the channel, then on up the river. Each canoe will proceed independently and try to get to the objective up here at Deptford. All the defenses have been alerted. And if you're challenged, reply with the code word water babies, then give yourselves up. Actually, I'm confident we won't have to do that. This is our big chance to prove that we can penetrate a heavily defended river. Up at Combined Operations Headquarters, they'll be keeping an eye on us, and our entire future may depend on the outcome. I know you won't let me down.
That night, we paddled through the channel and up the river. And I thought of ducks I'd seen scooting across a lake in the moonlight, and how easy it was to pick them off.
Major Stringer is nuts.
You can say that again, Stevens. Only a marine diver could get up the trip without being seen.
Order our fire!
It's a sentry in the river bank.
Paddle towards us! Advance and be recognized!
Oh, come on, we've had it.
What do you think you're doing?
Come on. Get out of that canoe.
Oh, we know what we're doing. The password's water babies.
Water babies, is it? I don't know anything about that. Just you do as you're told and you won't get hurt.
But I tell you, we have the password. Water babies.
We'll tell it to the captain. Excuse me, sir. I caught these two in a canoe up the river. I had to fire a shot to halt them. They say they're a couple of water babies from Portsmouth.
Hey, you're going to lose weight, Sergeant. You're making this here cockle shell feel like a ton of bricks to push.
Then why don't you jump overboard and lighten it, Lomas?
Who goes there?
Oh, it's a sentry. Come on, Petal, put your back in.
Hold the line, fire!
How can we all? Does a so-and-so think we're walking? All right, Lomas, that's enough. Let's give up.
Well, Thompson, got any news for me?
I'm afraid you've had it. All your canoes were arrested before midnight. In other words, your entire force was wiped out.
I see. Well, it's my turn to listen to you for a change.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, let me have it. What did I do wrong?
You did everything wrong. You made just about every mistake it's possible to make. You're a rotten leader. In fact, you're no leader at all. You don't begin to understand your men. You think they're enthusiasts. They're not. They're not in the least bit interested in all this. They're like schoolboys with a lenient master, pretending to lap it all up, but really not doing any work at all. From the day you started, they've been laughing at you behind your back.
Well, now what do I do?
What do? You become an officer. You take this sloppy lot and you whip them into a team. You pitch into them until they learn to do exactly as they're told, whether they like it or not. Do you know what you've just done? You just killed a whole lot off. Not a man would have survived. Not a man would have reached his objective if this exercise had been the real thing.
That's where your kindness has got you. And your men despise you for it.
Well, that seems to be what I wanted to know. In future, disciplinary actions where necessary and handed out by either one of us. They'll have a word with the men in the morning. No one is without blame. Every one of you is guilty of most of the faults I have listed here. This wasn't just a small exercise gone slightly wrong. This was a prize example of a complete and total bog-up. We not only failed to reach our objective, theoretically we were wiped out a few hours after we started to paddle. And I blame myself. I failed you just as surely as you failed me. I gave you credit for having some intelligence. I treated you with kindness and consideration. And you let me down. Well, I'm not going to fail again. And you're not going to let me down anymore. In future, any man guilty of committing the slightest breach of any nature will be brought before me on charge.
Who do you think he is?
Oh, water.
Clark, Lomas, when I'm talking, I want your undivided attention. Sergeant Craig?
Yes, sir.
Those two men are to be given 1 hour's close order drill after working hours this evening. We're going to start training again, and this time we're going to do it right. You're going to work and think twice as hard as you ever have before.
And now, Act Two of the General Motors Hour production, Cockleshell Heroes.
Now this is the Limpet Mine. Four powerful magnets are attached to the outer frame so that with a steel plate such as this, it's easily attached. Our job will be to attach these bombs to the hulls of ships below the waterline. The mine is detonated by this fuse. Here you are, Sergeant. Pass it round. And by the way, that's not a dummy. I wanted you to get used to the feel of the real things, and you'd better dispose of it in the sea. It's set to go off in 15 minutes.
It was tough, and if we stepped out of line, Major Stringer was the first to put us on charge. In fact, you might say he got even tougher than Captain Thompson, who really surprised a lot of us, him and his book of regulations. We got a weekend leave just before the Bordeaux show started, although none of us knew for sure when it was really on. That time, Captain Thompson took Major Stringer to his home in London. Real mansion of a place, ancestral portraits with side whiskers all over the place, and plenty of port being passed.
All Marines are family, right back to the 18th century. My father was a general, and so was his father. When I was a boy, I just couldn't wait to get into action, to show I was as good as any of them. In 1918, I was with the 1st Battalion. We got up to the front line in time for the Battle of Cambrai. I was a brand new officer in a brand new uniform with a platoon of trusting young men behind me.
You awake, sir?
Oh, yes, yes. A bit too much to drink, maybe, but awake.
Well, when the big advance started, I was ordered to capture what I was told was an isolated German machine gun post on the right flank. The fog lifted early that day, and we hadn't got halfway there before we began to get pasted, good and proper. It suddenly dawned on me that intelligence was all wrong, and that the Boche position was far too strong to be taken by my platoon alone. I used my common sense and got my men down behind cover. Then I sent a runner back to HQ with a report on the situation. Well, that's where everything went wrong.
Wrong?
And the runner got hit. The message never got there. My company commander didn't like me very much. When he got hauled over the coals for not reaching his objective, he managed to pass most of the blame on to me. Said I should have pressed on regardless of casualties. You don't seem to realize, Thompson, that in the Royal Marines we don't grovel on the ground the minute someone points a rifle at us. Well, what could I say? I knew he was right. Next time I'd know what to do, but there wasn't a next time. They pulled me out of the battalion. And then the war was over and it was too late. That was 22 years ago. Since then, I've been promoted just once. couldn't be trusted under fire, so... Now it's too late for me to have a second chance. All I get is administrative jobs. Stringer, I'm trying to say I don't want to hate you for having something which I no longer have. I'm trying to say good luck to you, Stringer. Oh, well. Come on, hero. Let's get back. Yes?
Beg pardon, sir, but there's trouble.
All right, Sergeant. Let's have it.
It's Ruddock, sir. He's absent without leave. I've reason to think he's got domestic trouble at home, sir. Lomas is his friend. He says so.
You realize what this means, don't you? Ruddock is a reserve for this operation. We might need him. We've got to bring him back.
Yes, sir.
Sergeant, I'm not going to mince matters because you and I talk the same language. We both know we've been dealing with a commanding officer who doesn't know King's regulations from the telephone book. I've tried to look after my end, but I can't be everywhere. I shall go after Ruddock. I want you to cover up for me.
Yes, sir.
Now, get down to transport and grab me a car. Tell them I'll drive myself.
Yes?
I want to see Private Ruddock.
You can't come in here.
Where is he? Has he been here?
No. My husband's not on leave.
I don't need you to tell me that.
Look, I don't know who you are, but if you don't get out of here, I'm going to call the police.
Just what do you want, soldier? What's your business?
Who's this?
My lodger, of course.
Oh, of course.
Look, we don't know anything. Why don't you go away?
You make me sick, both of you. Good evening, Ruddock.
What? Oh, Captain Thompson. Good evening, sir.
I thought you might show up here sooner or later. Well, what have you to say for yourself? You're AWL.
Yes, sir. Well, there's a bit of a celebration on at home, sir. I thought if I happened to get sent off to Bordeaux, well, I thought I'd chance it and come home.
I know why you're here, Ruddock. I've been to that door over there.
You have, sir?
I talked to your wife and her lodger. I know what you're going to do, and I'm not going to stop you.
I beg your pardon, sir?
I said I'm not going to stop you. How long do you want in there?
About 3 minutes, sir.
That's not long enough, you fool. I'll give you 15 minutes and make a good job of it. That's an order.
Oh, that's very generous of you, sir.
Have you a key to the door?
Yes, sir.
And what are you waiting for?
It's me. Come on, where is he?
Don't touch him. Leave him alone.
In 15 minutes' time, I'll leave him alone.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning, sir. How's the head?
Did I pass out on you last night?
I wouldn't say that, sir. You fell asleep.
Sorry. Didn't keep you up too late, I hope.
Oh, no.
Hey, what's this I hear about Ruddock? I caught a word or two in the parade ground this morning. Something about a fight. You know anything about it?
No.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes, Sergeant?
This just came, sir.
Oh, thanks. Marked secret. Well, this is it, Thompson. The Bordeaux operation starts tonight.
I can't say any of us were sorry to get our marching orders. We'd waited a long time for this, and now we were keyed up for the 350-mile trip to Bordeaux. A submarine took us on board with canoes, rations, arms, and limpet mines for the ships in the docks of Bordeaux.
Come on, boys. I need up now. Clark, get this gear stowed away.
Yes, Sergeant.
There you are, Sergeant. Got aboard all right?
Yes, sir. Anything you want taken out of that raft, sir?
No, thanks.
How do you do? I'm Greaves, taking you across.
Oh, how are you? I'm Stringer. This is Captain Thompson, my admin officer.
How do you do?
He's coming along to see us safely off.
All right, we'll get underway as soon as you're ready.
Got everything, Sergeant?
All present and correct, sir.
Good. Let's go. All right, now pay attention, please. At the moment, we are passing Land's End in the submarine. We just left our escort. From now on, we'll be on our own. We'll be diving during daylight to avoid enemy reconnaissance. As you know, each canoe will carry 6 limpet bombs. One for each ship will be enough if you attach them in the right place. Hand me that, will you, Sergeant?
Yes, sir.
I call this Little Nell. It goes off 15 seconds after you start the fuse. It has to be fast because its purpose is to destroy the canoe and its cargo if capture becomes inevitable. 15 seconds will give you enough time to get yourselves clear. Now, after this operation is over, we'll withdraw to a quiet part of the river and make our escape in pairs, traveling across country to Ruffec. The French resistance have been warned to expect us and will pick us up. Oh, there's just one more thing. Any canoe getting itself into trouble will have to work out its own salvation. The other canoes will not stop for it. They will press straight on up the river. Only one thing matters on this job. Blowing up enemy ships. Action stations.
What's wrong, Jump?
We're diving. Enemy destroyer.
Shut off for depth charge attack.
Shut off for depth charge attack.
Silent routine.
All compartments shut off for depth charge attack, sir.
What's that?
Depth charges. Better sit down before you knock down, chum.
How do you stick this sort of life?
He's got to. Nowhere else to go.
Lomas, what's wrong?
I say, he's hit his head.
Here, let me see. How is he?
I'm afraid he's no good to us, sir. Unconscious.
Too bad.
Aichi Yoba, sir. Getting fainter.
Good. I'm afraid we've lost a man, Greaves.
Oh, bad luck. Did you bring a replacement?
No, I didn't think of anything like this.
You are in a spot.
All clear, sir.
Good. Well, that's over. Prepare to surface.
Prepare to surface.
Well, Stevens can't manage alone in his canoe. We'll have to leave him behind.
Is there no some other way, sir?
No.
I'll take his place, sir.
But you, Thompson?
Let me take Limitless' place.
That's out of the question.
May I ask why?
You haven't been trained for the job.
I've watched all the training. I could pick it up, surely. We can't afford to lose the canoe now, before we even start. I'm prepared to sit behind Stevens and take my orders from him.
Stevens?
Sir.
Get Lomas gear ready for Captain Thompson. He's going along as your number two.
We checked and double-checked our gear as the sub slithered underwater to the enemy coast. Canoes would go off as follows. Captain Thompson and Stevens, Sergeant Craig and Bradley, Major Stringer and me. We surfaced in the moonlight and dropped the canoes into the water one by one.
First crew away.
Right, Bradley. It's our turn. Shove off.
Okay, Sergeant.
Good luck, you two. Ready, Clark?
Yes, sir.
Get in.
Goodbye, Stringer. The very best of luck.
Goodbye. Thanks for everything. Shove off.
Well, that's that. The sub's vanished, sir.
Don't look back, Clark. Watch the river ahead. There's a riptide running here. It'll take us all we know to get this canoe through it. See anything of the other canoes, Clark?
Yes, sir. Captain Thompson and Stevens are going great guns. Ought to be ashore any time. Hello, what's wrong with Sergeant Craig?
Lost control of his canoe, I think. Got a broadside on in the rip. Come on, paddle, man. They're going over.
Canoe's turned upside down, sir.
Yes, can you see them?
Yes, sir. Swimming alongside now. Left side.
All right, Sergeant. Sergeant, hold on. We'll tow you ashore.
Well, first, Bradley.
Yes, Sergeant. Everything's under control.
All right, now hang on, you two. We'll get you ashore. Well, Sergeant, how do you feel?
All right, sir.
Bradley?
Hopping mad that we're out of the show so soon, sir.
Bad luck, but can't be helped. Sergeant?
Yes, sir.
We'll have to leave you here, I'm sorry.
We'll make our way back somewhere. Best of luck, sir. Best of luck, Clark.
Thanks, Sergeant.
All right, Clark, let's go. Gotta make the most of this darkness, you know.
Well, our little operation didn't amount to much, did it, Sarge? No excitement at all.
We'll be in for plenty if the Nazi patrols spot us. We got to make the most of darkness too, me lad. Move down the coast at night, hide from patrols by day. Let's get at it, Bradley.
Comfy, old chap?
Sand dunes like a ruddy feather bed.
I say, do you think we're safe here?
What place is safe, Bradley? We can't go too far away from the river or we'd never find our way. Make the most of it. Catch up on some sleep.
Listen.
An owl.
Yes, I know, but what sort of an owl?
Some flea-bitten
I say, it sounds hungry. And close, too.
Hold on. I'll take a look out up there. Might be a patrol. Wonder dogs, are you?
Army, we're for it, Sergeant.
All right. Keep that rifle away from my ribs. They've got us, Bradley. But remember, keep your mouth shut.
Everything all right?
Canoes are well hidden along the dunes, sir.
Good. Clark?
Okay, sir.
Stevens?
I could do with a better shut eye, sir.
Righto, the three of you make the most of it. I'll take first turn on guard. Stevens.
Sir.
Bury those tins. You want every Nazi patrol in the river to know we had breakfast here?
Go on. Sorry, sir.
What's that?
It's a patrol boat, sir.
They're packed up with krauts, isn't it?
They're thorough. Crawling up the river. Don't overlook even a floating piece of wood. They do that all the time.
Right up to the Bordeaux docks, I shouldn't be surprised.
They seem to be looking for something, sir. Don't think they found the sergeant and Bradley, do you?
If they have, those two have been very unlucky. We've only had an hour of daylight so far.
Marsh?
I say, I wonder who that is at the desk.
German headquarters officer, I think.
What? Who are you? I ask you again. Who are you? How many were you?
I can't count.
I should like to remind you, you can be treated as saboteurs and as such executed in front of a firing squad. Now, do you still refuse to answer my question?
Absolutely.
I was forgetting. It isn't done for an Englishman to split in front of his friends. I have here a questionnaire. You will each be taken to a separate room where in complete privacy you can fill in these forms. And I give you my word, no man shall know what the other has written. That is fair play, is it not? In return for this cooperation, I will give instructions that you are to be treated as bona fide prisoners of war. Take your time, there's no hurry.
Oh, thank you.
Take them away. Marsh!
Disavag, Marsh!
All right, we heard you.
Achtung! I want an immediate search at the neighborhood where the English were found. And notify the Luftwaffe. Planes will search the river right up to the docks. There are obviously more than two of them. The British never do anything by half measures.
We were out for 2 days and nights, had a few narrow shaves with patrol boats. Then on the third day, we hid our gear and settled down among the sand dunes to rest. For that night, we expected to reach the docks and our objective.
Everything all right,
eh? Oh, it's you, Thompson. Yes, quiet morning so far.
Right. Get back there. Get some sleep. I'll take over.
Be on the alert all the time, Thompson. Remember, we're close to those docks, and they've had time to find Craig and Bradley by now.
Yeah, those two might have got feet away.
I doubt it.
Even so, they wouldn't give any information.
Look here, Thompson. What would you do? Now, put yourself in a pair of jack boots for a while. Wouldn't you think it odd that two Englishmen just bobbed up in the river?
Yes.
Well?
I'd order a search of the whole area.
Small squads on the shore, patrol boats in the river, I suppose, huh?
No. That's what I do. Look, up there. Planes.
An air search?
Yes. They're looking for us, sir.
Well, you're back.
Not much choice.
Here's in the questionnaires, Herr Hoffmann.
You have filled them in, yeah?
Oh, yes. No trouble at all.
Good. I knew you would. Now, let me see. What is written here? What is this?
Oh, I say, that's mine.
Rural Britannia. And this one?
Mine. Drop dead. You fools! You swineherd! Yeah. Yeah. Good. Send every available boat out. Watch the river.
Well, we don't have to ask any more questions. Now we know. The Luftwaffe reports canoes have been seen on the river. Canoes, huh?
What are you up to? What are you up to?
Well, you're learning, Fritzy.
The English have always been enthusiastic about canoes.
Take them with me.
Thompson?
Ready to shove off, sir.
Good. You go first. Clark and I'll follow in 5 minutes.
Yes, sir.
Fuse is started. Limpet's okay.
Set to go off at 0700 hours, sir.
Clark?
Limpet set, sir.
Now, you know what to do. Attach the limpets to the ships and the docks. When you're through, go ashore and make your way back down here to a quiet part of the river. We'll join up again.
How about the frogman suit, sir?
We'll put them on now. In 5 minutes, we shove off for the docks.
Thompson and Stevens went first, paddling close to the bank. 5 minutes later, Major Stringer and I followed them. We were 30 minutes away from the docks, and lucky for us, it was a dark night. On the way up, I couldn't help thinking of Craig and Bradley, and the planes we'd seen searching for us all day. I wondered if they'd taken a wake-up to what we were after, and had a hot reception waiting for us at the docks. We caught up a bit on Thompson and Stevens. We could see them paddling towards the big locks that cut the ships off from the river. They were open, and Thompson and Stevens went through in fine style.
Now it's our turn.
Yes, I've got butterflies.
No noise with the paddles. When we get inside, we'll start on that big, fat, low funnel job.
Righto, sir.
Paddle like hell. Patrol boat coming.
Where to?
Side of the lock. Shadows there. Paddle, man. Now, keep still and hope for the best.
Passed us. Didn't see us.
Let's get through the lock. They might decide to close it.
We got inside. Thompson and Stevens had disappeared. There were shadows everywhere, and we went straight under the stern of the big low funnel job. The Major took the first dive, I took the second. In the gloom, the cold water, I heard the limpet strike the side of the ship as I slapped it on. It was a sharp sound, a sound that made my heart beat fast. Maybe it echoed. Maybe it could be heard up there. 3 times I heard that sound, and so did the Major. 6 mines, 6 ships, and our quota was filled. Still no sign of Thompson and Stevens. I was just coming to the surface when it started. What is it? What's gone wrong?
Get in quick. Let me help you.
What's happening over there?
Can't you see? They've got a searchlight on. Look, there's Thompson and Stevens trying to paddle away.
Poor beggars. Major, they're ramming the canoe. Thompson and Stevens are in the water.
There's nothing we can do. Paddle. That'll get out through the lock.
We shot across the water away from the light, but it suddenly swung round and caught us, and the guns opened up. We dived and came up near an old broad boat chugging down the river. 3 men were on the side, staring down at us. We thought it was curtains.
You see, take the rope. Take the rope.
They were Frenchmen. They threw us a rope and hauled us in.
Very good. Go below, stay there. Stay there with the coal until we tell you to come out.
Will they search?
No one saw us pick you up. They are patrolling at the other end of the dock now, looking for you. Please, get out of sight. We will put you ashore down the river.
Halt!
It's Captain Thompson and Stevens.
I say bad luck.
Hello, Sergeant. Bad day.
Sorry to see you here, sir.
They caught us in the docks.
The Major, too.
We think he got away. Do the job, sir.
It's almost 0700 now, Bradley. Let's hope we live long enough to find out.
I regret there are no more of you to shoot at the moment. But I assure you we'll get the rest of you. Unless, Captain Thompson?
Yes?
One last chance. If you tell me everything, your lives will be spared.
Go to the devil.
Yeah, sorry. It is you we shall send.
The docks are going up, sir. Listen.
Yes. We've done it.
Good show.
Hope the Major and Clark got away.
Exit your ears, Commando.
Straighten the line, boys.
Shots at sea!
Yeah, you all right, sir?
Yes, Clark. Thanks to those Frenchmen.
You think there's a chance we'll get back?
Yes, more than a fighting chance. I think we're safe enough here. Let's watch the end of it.
Yes, sir.
Every ship in the docks has gone up. That's the finish of it, huh, Clark?
Yes, sir. That's the finish of it. Blasted cockleshell heroes. That's what we are.
General Murders, our production, Cockleshell Heroes, adapted from the Columbia film by Rube Pullen, in which you heard the following players. As Cooney, Bob McNamara. Lieutenant Greaves, R.N., Guy LeClaire. Lodger, Leonard Teal. German officer, John Tate. Mrs. Ruddock, Moya Sullivan. Ruddock, Richard Meikle. Bradley, Rick Hutton. Stevens, Frank Taylor. Lomas, Leon Thaw. Sergeant Craig, Tom Farley. In the featured role of Clark, you heard Max Osbaston, and as Major Stringer and Captain Thompson, you heard our stars, Harp McGuire and Douglas Kelly. General Motors Hour is directed by Harry Harper. Tonight's play was produced by E. Mason Wood.
This is the General Motors Hour signing off from the Macquarie Network and cooperating stations throughout Australia.